So there are a couple of things that we want to look at in the readings today. The first one comes in the first reading, and that is from the book of Numbers, where God tells Abraham to speak to the rock, and the rock will give its water. And Moses. Moses gets angry at the people. I mean, do you listen to what he called them? A bunch of rebels and so on. And so he finally then just takes the staff and he hits the rock. Well, that's what God told him to do back in the book of Exodus when they were at Mount Sinai, as he was supposed to hit the rock, and then the rock would give its water. Now he was supposed to simply speak to the rock, because it was God who was to be glorified. No one could say, look what Moses did. The importance of that is that the nomads in that area were accustomed to looking at some of these things in the rocks, because when the rain would fall in the desert, which isn't very often, there'd be some sediment that would get in there, and there are little openings in the rocks, so there are huge caverns that this water would pool up in, that is inside there, but because of the sediment that would be at the opening, you couldn't get at it. So this shepherd would take his staff and he'd smack at it and break the sediment and the water would come out. So this is something they had a funeral right before Mass today, that's why I'm racing around. So Moses strikes the rock. He knew what he was looking for. Remember, after he had fled Egypt, he worked as a nomad for a while. He was the shepherd out in the desert for his father-in-law's flocks, so he knew exactly what he was looking at. But rather than giving God the glory, he got angry and he did it for himself. And that's what cost him going into the Promised Land. That's exactly what God told him at the end of the reading today. Because you didn't give me the glory, because you didn't glorify me, you can't lead the people into the Promised Land. So we look at that and say, boy, that was a pretty small thing that Moses did, and that cost him going into the Promised Land. Well, it reminds us that Jesus told us that from those to whom more has been given, more will be expected. And so Moses was given an awful lot. And he had been purified through the things that happened so that this shouldn't have happened. But he let his anger get the best of him, and he acted foolishly. Good lesson for all of us. Then we come to another point of water, and that's in the gospel reading today. And we hear about this Samaritan woman who, by the way, even though her life at that point was a mess, she became a saint. Her name is Saint Fotina, if you want to look her up. Anyway, so this woman is there speaking with our Lord. And when our Lord asks for a drink, and she, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, and a woman for a drink? Because the Jews would not use the vessels of the Samaritans because they were unclean. And so this made no sense to her. And of course, she's given him grief about it. And the important thing is the response. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you water that would spring up to everlasting life. That hasn't changed. If we knew the gift of God. Now, Jesus obviously is the gift of God. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God who is given to us. And St. John even makes that point. He was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to those who believe in him when Jesus speaks about the water welling up to eternal life. If we knew the gift. But then comes the other point, and he who speaks to you. The woman responds by saying, well, I know the Messiah is supposed to be coming. And Jesus said, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. To the Jewish people, he never showed himself. He never told them, except at his trial, when the high priest puts him under obedience to speak, then he acknowledges who he is. But this woman is not Jewish. And so to the Gentiles, he would tell them who he was. Remember, the Samaritans believed in the first five books of the Bible. That was it. They didn't believe in any of the prophets, any of the things after the Torah. But they had the first five books, so they had some. So she knew that the Messiah would be coming. But the fact that our Lord would reveal that to her, then she had to make that act of faith. Because she could see, as she said, that he was a prophet and so on. But it didn't take long before she went into the village and said, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? Could it be the Messiah?" And the amazing thing is that then Jesus stays there for two more days preaching to these Samaritan people. And then the whole town says to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said." They came to believe that our blessed Lord is indeed the Messiah. Now we ask ourselves, do we recognize this? Of course, we understand it in our minds. That's always the point. Do we really believe this? Do we really trust that God is going to, he's got everything in control. He's going to take care of it all. We don't need to worry about it. So if we really can honestly say from our hearts that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, then now the next point is to be able to live it, to do what he said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness. All these other things are going to be given to you. So if you find yourself worried and upset and anxious, you're not looking at God. You're not truly believing that Jesus is Lord. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God, because if you were, you're going to have confidence that he's going to take care of everything else. Just put it in perspective again. Go back to the first reading. The people are out there whining. You can understand why. Their livestock are thirsting. They're thirsty. They're out in a desert. It's 120 degrees. There's nothing around. And so they did what everybody would do, and they whine and they complain, and they don't trust in God. But then you ask yourself, how is God going to provide for 1.5 million people out in the desert? It's exactly what he did. Every day for 40 years, food and water. He can provide in any way he wants. Maybe you saw the little video clip that was up a couple of days ago. There were some people that were in Kiev, and the city was bombed. They were 2,000 feet underground. And for 18 days, there was this group of women and children who were in this place. They had nothing to eat, they had nothing to drink, and they had no oxygen. And one woman said, "I reached into my pocket and I pulled out my rosary. And as soon as I started praying the rosary, this woman appeared in this fallout shelter," whatever it was. All that they said is, "She looked like diamonds. But we could breathe, and we felt full, and we weren't thirsty anymore. And every time that we started to pray, she would appear, and she replenished the oxygen. And while they didn't eat anything, they were full. They didn't drink anything, but they were satiated. She took care of everything for them. God took care of the people of Israel out in the desert. How is he going to take care of you and me? I don't know, but he does. We don't need to worry about it. We spend so much time and effort worrying and wondering and doubting and fretting over everything. So go back and ask the question. Do you know the gift of God and who it is that's speaking? Because neither of those things has changed, because both of them are eternal. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the one speaking who is the Word of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. They cannot change. So the same question remains perfect for us today, and the same answer remains the same. Could this be the one who is the Messiah? Well, there's no question anymore. This is the one who is the Messiah. And if we actually believe that, then put it into practice. Seek first his kingdom and his way of righteousness. God will take care of everything else in a way that you would never be able to guess that he would do.